Upasamasilanam Parada Kamanam Mahamuninam Bhakti Jnana Vairagya Lakshanam Paramahum Siddharmam Upa Sikshamanaha Svatanaya Sata Jastam Parama Bhagavatam Bhagavatjana Parayanam Bharatam Dharani Palanaya Visitcha Svayam Bhavanam Devor Varita Sarira Matra Parigraha Unmati Iva Gagana Paridana Prakirna Krisha Atman Arobataha Vaniyo Brahma Varta Prabhavarta Raja. Translation Sukadeva Goswami says, "This is the great well which heard of everyone, the Supreme Lord, Rishabhadeva instructed his own sons. Although they were perfectly educated in culture, he instructed them just to set an example of how a father should instruct his sons before retiring from family life. Sannyasis who were no longer bound by fruit of activity and who have taken to devotional service after all their material desires have been vanquished also learn by these instructions." Lord Rishabha instructed his sons, 100 sons of whom the eldest Bharat was a very advanced devotee of follower of Vaishnavas. In order to rule the whole world, the Lord enthroned his eldest son on the royal seat. And thereafter, although still at home, Lord Rishabhadev lived like a madman, naked and with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself, and he left Brahmavarta to tour the whole world. Wherefore, actually, the instructions given to Lord Rishabhadev's sons were not exactly meant for his sons, because they were already educated in highly advanced knowledge rather than instruction of men. For sannyasis who intend to become advanced devotees, sannyasis must abide by Lord Rishabhadev's instructions while on the path of devotional service. Lord Rishabhadev retired from family life and lived like a naked madman, even while still with his family. After accepting the feature of Avadhut, a great saintly person without material cares, Lord Rishabhadev passed through a human society like a blind, deaf, and dumb man, an idol stone, a ghost, or a madman. Although people called him such names, he remained silent and did not speak to anyone. Therefore, the word Avadhut refers to one who does not care for social conventions, particularly the Varnashram Dharma. However, such a person may be situated fully within himself and be satisfied with the Supreme Personality of God on whom he meditates. In other words, one who has surpassed the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma is called Avadhuta. Such a person has already surpassed the clutches of Maya, and he lives completely separate and independent. Next 30. Rishabhadev began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps, cow pens, the homes of cowherd men, transient hotels, hills, forests, and hermitages. Wherever he traveled, all doubt elements surrounded him, just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from the forest, who is always being threatened, beaten, urinated upon, and spat upon. Sometimes people threw stones, stool, and dust at him, and sometimes people passed fallout before him. Thus people called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble. But he did not care about this, for he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on the spiritual platform, and being in the spiritual glory, he did not care for all these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate, and he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry with anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. Wherefore, Narayan Das Thakur has said, Deya Smriti Nahijar Samsar Bandhana Kahantar. When a person fully realizes that the material body and world are temporary, he is not concerned with the pain and pleasure of the body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and the disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arrive from sense perception, O sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. As far as Rishabhadev is concerned, it has already been explained, Idam Sariram Mama Durvibhavyam. He did not at all possess a material body. Therefore, he was tolerant of all the trouble offered to him by the bad elements. Consequently, he could tolerate people throwing stools and dust upon him and beating him. His body was transcendental and consequently did not at all suffer pain. He was always situated in spiritual bliss. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, as directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine made of the material energy. Since the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he is in the heart of the hogs and dogs also. If hogs and dogs in the material bodies live in filthy places, one should not think that the Supreme Personality of God in his Paramatma feature also lives in the filthy place. Although Lord Rishabhadev was maltreated by the bad elements of the world, he was not at all affected, and therefore it is stated here, Samahima Avastanena, who was situated in his own glory. He was never saddened due to being insulted in so many ways, described above. Lord Rishabhadev's hands, feet, and chest were all long. His shoulders, face, and limbs were all very delicate, symmetrically proportioned. His mouth was beautifully decorated with a natural smile, and he appeared all the more lovely with his reddish eyes spread wide. With the petals of a newly grown lotus flower covered with dew in the early morning, the irises of his eyes were so pleasing, they removed all the troubles of everyone who saw him. His forehead, ears, neck, nose, and all his other features were very beautiful. His gentle smile always made his face beautiful, so much so that he even attracted the hearts of married women. It was as though they had been pierced by arrows of Cupid. About his head was an abundance of curly, matted brown hair. His hair was disheveled because his body was dirty and not taken care of. He appeared as if he were haunted by a ghost. Although Lord Rishabhadev's body was very much neglected, his transcendental features were so attractive even the married women were attracted to him. His beauty and dirtiness combined to make his beautiful body appear as though it were haunted by a ghost. When Lord Rishabhadev saw that the general populace was very antagonistic to his execution of mystic yoga, he accepted the behavior of a python in order to counteract their opposition. Thus he stayed in one place and lay down. While lying down, he ate and drank, and he passed stool and urine and rolled in it. Indeed, he smeared his whole body with his own stool and urine so that opposing elements might not come and disturb him. Purport, according to one's destiny, one enjoys a lot of happiness and distress, even though one keeps himself in one place. This is the injunction of the Shastras. When one is spiritually situated, we stay in one place. And also says this will be supplied by the arrangement of the Supreme Controller. Unless one is a preacher, there's no need to travel all over the world. A person can stay in one place and execute devotional service suitably according to time and circumstance. When Rishabhadev saw that he was simply being disturbed by traveling throughout the world, he decided to lie down in one place like a python. Thus he ate, drank, and ate the stool and urine, smeared his body with them so that people would not disturb him. Because Lord Rishabhadev remained in that condition, the public did not disturb him, but no bad aroma emanated from a stool and urine. Quite the contrary, a stool and urine was so aromatic it filled 80 miles of the countryside with pleasant fragrance. From this, we can certainly assume that Lord Rishabhadev was transcendentally blissful. His stool and urine were completely different from material stool and urine, and they were aromatic. Even in the material world, cow dung is accepted as purified and antiseptic. A person can keep stacks of cow dung in one place and will not create a bad odor to disturb anyone. We can take it for granted that in the spiritual world, stool and urine are also pleasantly scented. Indeed, the entire atmosphere became so pleasant due to Lord Rishabhadev's stool and urine. In this way, Lord Rishabhadev followed the behavior of cows, deers, and crows. Sometimes he moved or walked, and sometimes he sat down in one place. Sometimes he lay down, behaving exactly like cows, deer, and crows. In this way, he ate, drank, passed stool and urine, and cheated the people in this way. Being the Supreme Personality of God, it Lord Rishabhadev possessed a transcendental spiritual body. Since the general public could not appreciate his behavior in mystic yoga practice, they began to disturb him. To teach them, he behaved like crows, cows, and deer. O King Pritchard, just to show all the yogis the mystic process, Lord Rishabhadev, the partial expansion of Lord Krishna, performed wonderful activities. Actually, he was the master of liberation, was fully absorbed in transcendental bliss, which increased a thousandfold. Lord Krishna Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva, is the original source of Rishabhadev. There's no difference in the constitution, and constantly Lord Rishabhadev awakened the loving symptoms of crying, laughing, and shivering. He was always absorbed in transcendental love. Due to this, all mystic powers automatically approached him, such as the ability to travel in outer space with the speed of mind, to appear and disappear, to enter the bodies of others, and to see things far, far away. Although he could do all this, he did not execute these powers. Purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita said, Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Ataeva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakala Ashanta. The word Shanta means completely peaceful. Unless all one's desires are fulfilled, one cannot be peaceful. Everyone is trying to fulfill his aspirations and desires, be they material or spiritual. Those in the material world are all Santa, because they have so many desires to fulfill. The pure devotee, however, is without desire. Panyabhilashita shunya. A pure devotee is completely free from all kinds of material desires. Karmis, on the other hand, are simply full of desires because they try to enjoy sense gratification. They are not peaceful in this life, nor the next, during the past, present, or future. Similarly, jnanis are ours, aspiring after liberation, trying to become one with the Supreme. Yogis aspiring after many siddhis, anima, vajina, prapti, etc. However, a devotee is not at all interested in these things because he's fully dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is Yogeshvara, the possessor of all mystic siddhis, and he is Aparama, fully self-satisfied. The yoga siddhis are described in this verse. One can fly in outer space and without the aid of machine, and he can travel at the speed of the mind. This means that as soon as the yogi desires to go somewhere within the universe or even beyond the universe, he can do so immediately. One cannot estimate the speed of the mind, for within this second the mind can go millions of miles. Sometimes yogis enter into the bodies of other people and act as they desire when their bodies are not working properly. When the body becomes old, a perfect yogi can find a young, able body. Giving up his old body, the yogi can enter into the young body and act as he pleases. Being a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudev, Lord Rishabhadev possessed all these mystic yoga powers, but he was satisfied with his devotional love for Krishna, which was divine, the ecstatic symptoms, such as crying, laughing, and shivering. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Purport, the fifth canto, fifth chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Rishabhadev's teachings to his sons. So, this is a description of the final actions of Rishabhadev in his life. He gave his kingdom to his son Bharata to rule. He was the elder son. And then he began acting as an avaduta, even when he was in his home. Then he left the house and wandered around. And then after wandering around, he stopped wandering around and simply sat there. So in this way, he set an example. So what is the example he sets? One is he detached himself from his kingdom and his household life. Of course, we understand that persons of the upper caste should renounce and at least take vanaprastha when their children are grown up and leave the house. And if one is a Brahmin, then one should take sannyas. So here we find the Rishabhadev, because he was a kshatriya, he couldn't take sannyas. But he practiced extreme austerities, which were equivalent of those of a sannyasi. We have different types of sannyasis like the Kudichak and Bahudak, etc., and Paradrajaka and Paramahamsa. So he acted like a Paradrajaka in that he wandered around everywhere. Paradrajaka means one who goes everywhere, wanders around. He has no home. And then the Paramahamsa is one who is completely detached from everything. So Rishabhadev follows such actions. He is called an avaduta, which means technically he's beyond the varnashram system completely. He did not follow any of its rules. So there can be seen that he did not follow the rules of cleanliness or behavior or anything. He didn't speak to anybody at all. He didn't hear anybody. He didn't do anything to get his food. If it came, he may eat it. If it didn't come, he wouldn't eat it. So he was completely beyond the rules and regulations of normal society. Therefore, people thought, oh, he must be crazy, or whatever. And they would make fun of him or whatever, mock him. But showing the example of a completely detached person, he did not mind this. He was completely tolerant, he was completely peaceful, undisturbed in all these different circumstances. So in other words, he showed an example of a person who has completely detached himself from material things because he has no attachment to the material body and he gets his pleasure within. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita, even in the second chapter, where it says person is like a turtle, and he withdraws his senses into his body like the turtle withdraws his legs into his shell, and his senses do not interact with the material world at all. So that is why Rishabhadev did not speak and did not hear and whatever. He was withdrawing his senses. So he sets an example of complete detachment, and as Bhagavad Gita says, this person he enjoys within, he is satisfied within, and therefore he doesn't need anything outside. Now, of course, Rishabhadev is the Supreme Lord, so he doesn't have to practice anything. And he doesn't have to go through this process either. But he's setting an example as an ordinary person. So he was a king, and then he renounces, and then he acts in a very detached way, like a material person. So ultimately, of course, he is the Supreme Lord. So he doesn't have to renounce anything because he's never attached. And he doesn't have to meditate and be satisfied within because he always is satisfied within. He's not attached to anything in the material world. But he does this to set an example for other people. Now, of course, in the modern world at this time, in Kali Yuga, this is not the Dharma we follow. But we see in previous ages, it was quite common for people to go to the forest and do all these type of things. It was not uncommon. But it does require higher qualification. In Satyuga, of course, people are automatically satyagun and detached, so to do such things is not a problem. In Kali Yuga, however, the majority of the people are in tamagun. No, it is impossible for them to reach the stage of actual detachment from material things. Rishabhadeva was born within Swayambhuva Manu. It doesn't say which yuga cycle he was in, but he was born in the line of kings, so he is highly qualified. And it appears that it was not Kali Yuga, because the system of kingship was still intact, and some of his sons were very saintly, etc. So population in general also was quite advanced. So therefore, you could set an example like this for such people. But at the present time, this is not very practical. The people are not qualified for this. So though he sets an example of complete renunciation, because material attachment is unfavorable, as was pointed out previously in the last instruction of Rishabhadeva, the ultimate point is to worship the Supreme Lord, not simply to become detached from material things. So one can reach that detachment from material things by worship of the Supreme Lord. So we should not take the example of simply becoming detached. That's not the goal. The goal is to worship the Lord, and through that, one becomes completely detached from everything in the material world. So that was the instruction given by Rishabhadeva. So because he was completely attached to the Lord, of course he was already the Lord, but he shows the example of concentration on the Lord. And through that, he could tolerate anything in the material world. He was completely detached from material insults, etc. So he's completely peaceful in himself. So Krishna also does the same thing. He also plays a role. So we see that in Dwarka, he gets up and he meditates. He goes through sadhana, he just sacrifices, and he goes to the assembly, there's all sorts of activities. He follows the principles of Dharma. But of course, because he's Supreme Lord, who is he to meditate on? Himself. There's nothing higher to meditate on. So he goes through this whole action of following the principles of Dharma, not to set an example for other people. But actually, he's the Lord himself, so he doesn't need to concentrate on anything. So similarly here, Rishabhadeva is Supreme Lord, but he carries out these activities as if he were an ordinary person, and concentrating on the Lord to become detached from the material world, etc. So the result of his worship of the Lord was that he was completely detached from the material world. He was already liberated in the material body because he was not attached to anything. So that is why the extreme examples are given. It didn't matter where he was, it didn't matter if people insulted him or threw stones at him or spat at him or whatever. He was completely beyond this material world. So that result is attained through the process of devotion to the Lord, not through anything else. So here it is mentioned that actually he had all these powers of yoga. Great, great powers. Through the process of bhakti, one will attain all material goals, liberation, all siddhis, everything. These are at the service of the devotee of the Lord. However, the devotee is not attached to any of these things. He doesn't indulge in any of these things because they can lead to bondage. So therefore, he's uninterested in these things, and of course he's completely attached to the Lord, so he has no interest in these things. So it's mentioned here he had all the cities, but he did not at all indulge in them for any reason, because they are material things. They're simply higher material powers or higher material enjoyment. So he didn't indulge in any of these things. Of course, we also know, because he is Supreme Lord, that these siddhis are nothing. He is Yogeshwar. He is the master of all yoga siddhis or whatever. So he doesn't even have to practice to get these powers. But taking the role of a human being, it says yes, he had all these powers due to his great detachment from the material world, etc. So, but he didn't use them. So this also sets an example for the yogis, and it's also mentioned in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. He mentions the siddhis, but he says the practitioner of yoga should not indulge in these things because they will lead to attachment, and this will detract from one's realization of Atma. So therefore, he says, do not indulge in these different siddhis that are available to the yogi. So Patanjali also gives this warning. So therefore, it was proper that Vrishabhadeva never used any of these yoga siddhis, which were available to him at any time. So this also illustrates the fact that by perfection of devotion, everything in yoga, jnana, and karma is actually available to the devotee, but he has no interest in these things. So in this way, Vrishabhadeva passed his life, later part of his life, in spite of the fact that he had been a king, he was not attached to any of those things. He was completely in another world because of his meditation on the Supreme Lord.
In one of the texts, it's written that he's setting example for Hindus.
Yeah, the last one. In other words, he got yoga siddhis, etc. But he was not attached to any of those things.
But Maharaj is not seen to be following all those processes that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita in the yoga process. Krishna explains yoga process in Bhagavad Gita, but he doesn't seem to be following that. So as to set an example for.
It doesn't specifically mention here that he went through the meditation process. Of course, he went to the forest, obviously, and he showed complete detachment, which a yogi should also show. So basically, he did follow the yamas and niyamas and whatever, all that. As for pranayama and asana, it's not mentioned here whether he did or didn't. Who knows what he did. But also, because he was highly qualified, he already had surpassed that, so he could just meditate on the Supreme Lord. So he didn't have to go through asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, etc. He'd automatically meditate on the Supreme Lord.
Prabhupada wishes in the purport that you should just take, you should be followed by sannyasis. Whatever sannyasis take that. You always sannyasis are impossible. It's not practically possible in this age.
Well, he was speaking, it says he was speaking not for his sons exactly, because they already knew all of this, but he's speaking for other people. Those who were, particularly those who were renounced, that's why he emphasizes renunciation in his particular teachings. They want you to control the senses. But then, of course, ultimately he said that the way of doing this is to serve the Supreme Lord. So obviously it's devotional. To show people that one should, if one wants complete detachment from the material world, one should perform bhakti.
What's that?
To show the power of bhakti, that through that one becomes completely detached from everything in the material world. But as I said, detachment from the material world is a secondary result of one's attachment to the Lord.
So then what's the difference between the appearance of
Lord Chaitanya? He doesn't show examples of extreme renunciation. He says everybody, whether they're a householder or not, simply chant the name, that's all. Of course, ultimate instruction is the same, worship the Lord. But here the emphasis is upon detachment from the material world.
Maharaj, why is it that sometimes it is easier to become detached from the material world, seeing all the sufferings and other things, but it's very difficult to become attached to the Lord? What is holding the jiva from developing that, even though it is its innate nature is to serve the Lord? But it's observed.
Well, if one hasn't got faith, then one cannot do that. It's simply a matter of faith. So the inclination of the jiva is not to worship the Lord, then it will be difficult to do that. That faith has to develop first, which is usually because of mercy of devotees.
Maharaj,
if that mercy is not there, the faith doesn't develop, then they will do something else, some other process.
For the appearance of Lord Vishwadeva, is it possible to call it to this study?
No.
But like in this case, Vishwadeva is an incarnation of the Lord and he is worshipping the Supreme Lord. Is it like that, and although there are so many expansions of the Lord, but still they worship the higher form?
Well, it's because they're playing the role of sages, just like Kapila or anybody else. He is also Supreme Lord, but then he's telling you to worship the Supreme Lord, whatever. Huh? And even Krishna says you worship the Lord or whatever. So he doesn't say worship me all the time, he says you worship the Lord or whatever sometimes also. So he plays the role of being an instructor, telling things.
If he was bad before, he basically had the Supreme,
he had worshiped me. Yeah, he does. So Krishna also says that at the end. And he also says, yeah, worship the Supreme Lord or whatever like this. But then he also says, I am Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada. So sometimes he speaks in the first person, sometimes he speaks in the third person.
I like that example from Srimad Bhagavatam where Arjuna and Krishna they had to go to Mahavishnu. But that was only in terms of having seen both of them together or from a more reverential perspective.
What
is that? That passage where Arjuna and Krishna had to go to retrieve the sons of the Brahmana to Mahavishnu. So that was more because Mahavishnu wanted to have darshan of them together or had some reverential aspect also.
Well, not necessarily together, but just simply he cannot go to see Krishna and Dwarka because that's not part of his pastime, so he cannot enter into Dwarka. Just come and walk. Vishnu cannot walk into Dwarka and say, here I am. So he had to make some arrangement why Krishna would come to him.
Appearance of Lord Vishnu
today, it doesn't say, but it's in the Swayambhuvamana, which is the first part of the day of Brahma. Well, they say that, but then of course, then that would make the very far back in millions of years ago. But they do follow that, the same type of sadhana.
In the end of Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna says, surrender unto me. So he decrees all other type of processes and establishes surrendering unto him as the best process. As such, in Srimad Bhagavatam, all these processes are enumerated. People are taking to detachment. Though the common point is worship of the Lord. But there is no authoritative statement done in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein it says that this process is better or it's my lack of knowledge or that process is better to attain the worship of the Lord. So Chaitanya Charitamrita actually explains Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of how the bhakti can be practically attained. So how do we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam which is to be followed in this age?
Well, we learned from the first canto there, the Narada Muni instructed Veda Vyas to simply tell everybody to give up all of the processes, and he wrote all the other Puranas in which he advised people to worship different devatas like Shiva or Brahma or Krishna, whatever. So he says you just reject all that and tell everybody to worship Krishna. That is the process to follow in Kali Yuga. So that is the main theme of Bhagavatam. And now within that we have Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Stanga Yoga also, and other processes mentioned. They are only secondary processes in all cases. As in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions everything. So, in the beginning and the end, the conclusion is bhakti.
It's a mixed devotion. Is it more troublesome than doing mixed devotion?
Huh?
Doing mixed devotion.
Mixed devotion.
Is it more troublesome than doing pure devotion?
It's not more troublesome, but then the goal is different. One doesn't get prema.
So, Rasabhas is due to mixed devotion. Rasabhas. Rasabhas.
Yeah.
Is it due to mixed devotion?
No, you don't get rasa at all from mixed devotion.
Vandana Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vandana Ram ki jai. Jivan Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Gopi Prabhu ki jai.